grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna to the Son of David.
Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem with palms in their hands gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son when he came into his holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King, and when he comes again, may go forth to meet him with trusting and steadfast hearts, and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Let us go forth in peace.
In the name of the Lord.
Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 50th chapter. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning, he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them.
And give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord.
The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me.
And have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected
has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing.
It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we pray, O Lord.
O Lord, we pray, give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God.
And he has made his light to shine upon us.
Bind the festal sacrifice with cords.
Up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you.
You are my God, and I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever. Glory be to the Father.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the second chapter. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted, and they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Who do you want me to release for you? Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him, and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and put a reed in his right hand, and kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him, and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe, and put his own clothes on him, and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, This man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, Truly, this was the Son of God. There were also many women there looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. Next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Sir, we remember how the impostor said while he was still alive, After 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them, You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Holy Week has arrived. We have heard our Lord's entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. We have heard how the week ended, with the King of the Jews being put to death on the cross. Our text is the Palm Sunday entrance, as well as the lead-in to Good Friday. You may be seated. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. That's right, Jesus of Nazareth, the great teacher, the marvelous healer, the raiser of dead Lazarus, he's coming. Large crowds lined the roads. They elbow and press in to see him. They crane their necks just to get a glimpse as he rides past. Children sit on the shoulders of their fathers. Mothers keep a tight grip on little hands. Young boys bob and weave their way to the front. Everyone waves wildly. They cheer until hoarse. What a day. What a day. A day that's sure to go down in history. Just like that day long ago, 1,000 years earlier, when Solomon rode into Jerusalem to take his throne. Just like Zechariah the prophet had written hundreds of years earlier, saying, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." And now it's happening before their very eyes. "Hosanna," they cry. "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the King of Israel." It seems like the whole world shouts in welcome. The excitement builds. Anticipation hangs in the air. Where will it lead? What will happen next? And what will it mean for them? Why, the king will take his throne and establish his kingdom. Of course, that's what's next. But not that day. Not on that first day of the week. I don't think the people were disappointed, however. There were certainly some fireworks in Jerusalem. You should have seen what he did in the temple. What a show of strength. Did he ever give it to them? Animals baaing, pigeons flapping, tables flipping, coins rolling, people scurrying. Maybe not quite what they expected, but maybe he was just warming up to take on the Romans next. Because the king will take his throne and establish his kingdom. But not on Monday or Tuesday. On Monday and Tuesday, he spends his time teaching in and around the temple. And what strange teaching. Parables about a vineyard rented out to tenants, the owner's son getting killed, and then a wedding feast where the invited guests don't show, so everyone else is welcome instead, and one guy gets thrown out for refusing to wear the proper clothes. I'm not sure if the Pharisees and Sadducees understood all of it, but they certainly didn't like, knew enough to not like what he was saying. And so they try to trip him up, they test him, they give him riddles. It doesn't work. He turns the tables on them as well, and they don't dare ask him anything else. And still he keeps on teaching about the temple being torn down and Jerusalem destroyed, about 10 virgins, half of whom neglect their lamps and so get locked out of the wedding hall, about a man who goes on a journey and leaves his servants in charge of his property, about a king seated on a glorious throne who separates the surprised sheep from the dismayed goats. But where's he going with all this? I think the king will take his throne and establish the kingdom. But not on Wednesday. Eerily silent Wednesday. I challenge you to look through the four Gospels during Holy Week and find something that happens on Wednesday aside from Judas' betrayal. It's like, aside from Judas arranging the betrayal, it's like the calm before a storm. It's like being seated in the eye of a hurricane. The pressure just builds and builds. I wonder, were the crowds getting restless at this point, losing interest, disappointed that their expectations hadn't been met, confused? The king will take his throne and establish his kingdom. Won't he? Isn't that what's supposed to happen next? Not on Thursday. Oh, there's some activity on Thursday during the day. His disciples come and go. They follow his directions to prepare the Passover feast. They find a place. They get the supplies. They make sure everything's ready for the evening. They eat. He teaches. Night falls. And the world tucks into bed. Maybe they were wrong about him. Maybe he isn't the coming king after all. Maybe there won't be any throne or any kingdom. And then comes Friday. Word begins to spread. Jesus is coming once again. He's coming through Jerusalem. Large crowds line the road. They elbow and press in. They crane their necks just to see him stumble past, like people at the scene of an accident. Children bury their heads in their father's shoulders. Mothers shield the eyes of their little ones. Young boys hang back, nervous and uncomfortable. It's not like the day Solomon rode into Jerusalem. Not at all. It's not like Zechariah had promised, not coming on a donkey anymore. Everything's gone wrong. What has happened to the king? What has happened to the kingdom? This is what happened. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "You've said so." This is what happened. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand, and kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." This is what happened. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." This is where it leads. This is what the entire week is building to. And already here on Palm Sunday, we look ahead to the passion of our Lord. Why did he do it? Why did the king come like this? Why didn't he just march in and take over, call down the legions of angels, and establish his throne and his kingdom? Because our Lord had his directions. He had his mission. He had his purpose. And nothing would sway him from it. Because our Lord was not entering at the orders of the people. He was not waiting for their acclamation. He was not out to please them. Because our Lord desired to honor his Father and to do his Father's will. As we sang in our hymn a few minutes ago, "Go forth, my son," the father said, "and free my children from their dread of guilt and condemnation. The wrath and stripes are hard to bear, but by your passion they will share the fruit of your salvation." Yes, Father, yes, most willingly, I'll bear what you command me. My will conforms to your decree. I'll do what you have asked me. O wondrous love, what have you done? What have you done to redeem us, a lost and condemned people, to save us from the power of death, to rescue us out of the jaws of hell? He is a king like no other, not like the kings of this world. No, he is a king who comes in humility, He is a king who comes ready and willing to suffer and die for you. He is a king who does not try to be God, but he is God, and yet he comes as a slave, as a servant. He is one whose ear has been opened to his Father, who was not rebellious, who did not turn back from the pain and the suffering. He is the one who gave his cheek to those who, his back to those who strike, and his cheeks to those who pull out the beard, who did not hide his face from disgrace and spitting. He is the one who, when charged with wrong, gave no answer, was silent, to the amazement of the governor. He is the one who lives knowing himself and his mission and his Father, and he goes into Jerusalem not in weakness, but rather in trust and in confidence and with a desire for your salvation. Yes, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And he did this for you. He chose this for your sake. He chose the cross as his throne and the thorns as his crown. He chose to lead and to rule with his own blood, which he shed for you. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is our marvelous King, and this is the kingdom that he has come to bring and establish. Not a kingdom of power and might, but rather a kingdom of grace and forgiveness and life and salvation, a kingdom that he gives to you now, here, today. A kingdom that he establishes in your ears, and so in your hearts and minds. A kingdom that he places into your mouth with his own body and blood. He wishes to be your king, and he wishes you to be in his kingdom. And his desire for you is that you might live like him, that you might have the same mind that he has, the mind of Christ. Consider others more highly than yourself, that you might pursue the will of your Father in heaven, which is a good and gracious will, just as he did. So greet your King today. Welcome him into your ears and your heart and your mind and your mouth. Sing to him your loud hosannas. Cry out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For your King has come, and he rules with what you need, with hope, with life, with salvation, with peace. Here is a king whom we can honor and worship, not simply because he flexes his muscle and makes us bow down and bend. Here is a king we can worship and honor because he is worthy of all honor and glory, and he has all power and might forever and ever. So bend your knee, let your tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. The Lord who entered into Jerusalem as king, to sit upon his throne, to establish his kingdom, and to rule in your life as well. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. King of glory, Lord of hosts, lift up the gates of our hearts and make way for your blessed Son. Forgive our sins and renew our souls, that we may glorify him who died to save us. Bless our congregation and all who join us during this holy week, and sustain those who serve among us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, you desire not the death of any sinner, but that all would turn in repentance to you. Bless the preaching of your holy gospel and the administration of your sacraments here and in mission fields around the world. Convert those who do not yet know Christ. Sustain those who face danger and opposition for the name of Christ. Bless and protect all missionaries as they proclaim him boldly in hostile places, and surround their families with your care. And grant us here courage to confess our Lord's death and resurrection in our lives, and restore those who have wandered away from the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you sacrificed your own Son on the cross that we may be called your children. Increase the faith of all Christian fathers that receiving Jesus and trusting in his atoning sacrifice, they may be enlivened to sacrificial love for their children. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, our King, your Son entered Jerusalem as the true ruler, ready to lay down his life for his people. Grant this same mind to those in authority over us, that they would discharge their duty even for the least among us, and so receive your commendation. Lord, in your mercy. According to your gracious will, O Lord, look on all who suffer illness or infirmities, especially Donna, Yorma, Linda, John and Lee, Diane, Amara, Marilyn, Catherine, Al, Anne, Cynthia, Vivian, Jim, Bruce, John, Kay, Fane, Bobby Joe, Jason, and our homebound Karen, Rick, and Andrea. Bless them with what is best for them according to your good and gracious will, and strengthen their faith. Open our hearts to serve their bodily needs. Take into your care those who mourn the death of loved ones, especially Jace and his extended family. Give them peace and comfort through your holy word. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, as your Son once entered humbly into Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna, so send him to us according to his promise in the Holy Sacrament, that we may eat his body and drink his blood in repentance and faith for the forgiveness of our sins and in the unity of a true confession. Lord, in your mercy. We praise you, Father, that you have sent your Son not in wrath, but in mercy. As we enter this most holy week and ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation, show us the answer to your people's prayers of Hosanna in the passion of our Lord, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy Lord God of heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm for today is Psalm 31. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength falls because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My time's in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my prosecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.